Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. Politics on the Navajo Nation, brought to you by Cal Nez Design, and hosted by Cal Nez himself.
Politics on the Navajo Nation, the official Navajo Talk Radio, hosted by Cal Nez.
Good evening. This is Cal Nez. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. And all you listeners, this evening I have a telephone recording that I did with Lorenzo Bates, and he is currently in, well, I'm not sure where he's at right now, but at the time he was in his residence. So really do appreciate him calling in to talk with us. So I will go ahead and get this rolling here real soon here. Let me get the everything. But welcome. How's everybody doing this evening? I welcome all you listeners. And some pretty interesting stuff here on this recording. So let's go with this.
Cal Nez, you're listening. Yat A. Tahasi, oh, this is Cal Nez, you're listening.
Hold on 1 second here. We're just having some audio difficulties here. Let me get this queued up here. Okay.
This is Cal Nez. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. I am doing a telephone interview with Navajo Nation Council Pro Temp Speaker, Lorenzo Bates. I would like to thank him for joining us this evening. And, well, I appreciate it. Can you clarify what exactly is the status of the Navajo Nation Council right now, meaning that December 31st, I assume their term ended and they're going to be sworn in on the 13th, but it looks like they're still addressing some legislation.
I'm still Speaker Pro Tem. Our term, the 22nd Navajo Nation Council's term, ends January 13th at 12 o'clock, 12 noon, really. At 12:01, we are no longer the 22nd Navajo Nation Council. Once the oath is taken after 12 noon on the 13th, the 23rd Nomination Council is in place.
Okay. So, so you're still a pro tem speaker. So, yeah, I'm not any joined, Maggie. One of the things that we're going to be talking about this evening is there's a legislation. I'm not sure what the exact legislation number is on it, but I am going to be, on behalf of the callers and listeners out there, would like to talk about what that legislation, there was actually three of them that were addressed on the last few days of December. One of them is the Navajo Nation presidential election that has some new dates. The other is the language fluency, and the third being the reinstatement of the Board of Election Supervisors. And I believe right now one out of the three have been addressed, and that is the Navajo Nation language fluency legislation that has been vetoed by the president. And the last one is the legislation for the Navajo presidential election. Has that been signed yet?
On the election legislation, that has yet to be signed as we speak. I'm anticipating it'll be either done by tomorrow, by Wednesday of this week, it is signed, or considered, I should say. As to whether or not he signs it into law or vetoes again, I'm guessing right now, Wednesday.
Okay. In that legislation, there's quite a bit of interest right now. The legislation was sponsored by Council Delegate Leonard Sosi, and along with all callers and listeners out there, the Navajo voters, you know, the curiosity about the legislation, if you can, we know that the suggestion is that the election is going to be moved and June of 2015 is going to be the special or the runoff election, and then August is going to be the special election, and with the inauguration, it's going to be September is what's tentatively scheduled. But the question that we have is that the door opens again to the 17th. Now, what qualification is going to be used for this new election? And namely, specifically, if the previous primary election, Chris Tashini has been disqualified, and now if that's happened there, does that basically, this new legislation, does that bring him back? And if so, how? And are the qualifications, what are they going to use as the qualification gauge?
And for all this in one sentence, Cal, the qualifications are as they are today as it applies to language. If the president had signed that fluency legislation, then it would have changed the qualification. But by his action of vetoing it, that specific qualification is as it was prior to consideration by the Navajo Council. The qualifications are still there. Now, if he signs the election, the extension of the election in terms of the primary and general election going into August, could the 23rd Council reconsider for the third time and address the qualifications? Yes, they could. Will the president, whoever is the president, whether it be President Shelley or an interim president, have the authorities that the current sitting president does in terms of approving or vetoing it? Yes. In the event that whoever is the sitting or presiding president, whether it be an interim president, signs for fluency legislation going on its third attempt, then the changes could change the lineup, which then could make Mr. Dischini qualified. So,
very interesting. So this could happen, meaning that immediately after January 13th, the new council could convene and, depending on, well, it's also, well, before I ask this question, let me ask you, does the Navajo, the current president, Ben Shelley, on January 13th, does he step down or does he not step down?
Right now, there are two opinions. One from the Department of Justice that says he can stay on. There's another opinion from Legislative Council that basically that says no. That in saying no is that his term ends on January 13th, because the term of the administration is on that day, just as the delegates are on that day. Now, be mindful of the fact that everything that we've done has been going on, whether it be with council, there are no statutes that have, that address our situation. So we operate off of what we have. So this is all uncharted waters. And I, again, suspect that at some point, the 23rd Council should address what we've had to deal with this past election or this current election issue situation and address it going forward.
Well, so this is all really what the future holds, really dependent on what's going to happen to the president. Now, you said that there's two opinions, and they're both from two different departments, from the two different branches. Now, does that mean that the who's going to make that final determination before next week?
Be mindful of the fact that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court has, first of all, they made a ruling that an election is going to be held no later than the 31st. That's still there. By council's action, that changes the picture to some extent. If the president signs the legislation, that it changes the entire picture, because now you have council taking action, the president signing it, and it going into law, and you have Supreme Court had made a ruling. So you have that; those two conflict with each other. And you have a president who's still in office. Does he or does he not move into the vacant or interim president position? Can the 23rd Council on the afternoon of January 13th act on any legislation to move someone from within council into the presidency office? Yeah. Anything, you know, that's possible. Will the sitting president resist? Oh, no. Or will he say, okay, and go out briskly? Don't know. And these are unknowns.
Well, having said that, so really right now, we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen in terms of the president's office.
Exactly. Until he takes an action, that action will determine whether or not we're going to have an election at the Supreme Court rule before it goes into August. Goes into August, again, the 23rd Council can readdress the issue for a third time. And if the sitting president is an interim president or an individual from within council goes across, he would have the same, or they would have the same authority as a president in consideration of that legislation and any other legislation that's come across the executive branch, which includes vetoing the signing of a legislation.
So let's say he says no, I'm not stepping down. Then what?
Then this will all see each other in court.
Oh my. Okay. Well, that kind of answers that question. So if that's the case, then either way, January 31st, as ruled by the Navajo Supreme Court, most likely is not going to happen in either case. Whether if he says, I'm not going to step down.
Maybe. And the reason I say maybe is yes, an election, will he step down? Will council, will the 23rd council say it's only for 30, 45 days? Let him stay on. That's one scenario. Or will council say, no, whether it's 3 days, 3 minutes, 45 days, we want someone else over there. And that's what we don't know. That's what I don't know.
So now, okay, so the president, the next question that comes up is the, if the president has already vetoed the language fluency issue, which really takes us back to the qualification of Chris Descheny, and not only him, but also probably other candidates, where the possibility of having the language fluency qualification is going to probably be vetted a little more tightly, with a little bit more, what I'm getting at, is there going to be a test if that's the case?
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that now. And then who would determine, who would write the test? Who would give the test? Who would grade the test? Those, again, are questions that will need to be asked and answered. Could there be enough time between now and August, end of August, and the general election? It's got to be done before. And the way the legislation reads, it outlines who can all be considered. Well, who has the word become part of the primary. In either case, in any case, the election statute would need to be amended to address those types of questions or any other questions that may come up.
So, now, if this legislation was drafted, let's say, even though it's been vetoed right now, if we get past, or once we get past January 13th, swearing in of the nomination council, at that point, the question that would come up in the mind of the, let's say, in the mind of the voters, let's say the Navajo, the new Navajo Nation Council comes in, and they could easily convene a special session to specifically address the language fluency issue, but then again, we don't know if they're going to pass it or not going to pass it, but it's all going to be dependent on whether the president is in or not in, and,
well, yeah,
so, you know,
let me step in just for a second. Let me clarify a couple things. Once the 23rd council comes in, it's been a practice to meet that afternoon after the inauguration to select a speaker pro tem. All right, because my responsibilities end at 12 o'clock, January 13th.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll select a speaker pro tem just to run the administrative portion of the legislative branch. Winter session is when they select a speaker. It does not prevent the 23rd council from selecting, or after they selected a speaker pro tem, prior to that, have legislation introduced as an emergency legislation to consider an interim president. One possibility. The second possibility is soon thereafter, they can go through the process of petition and get 13 signatures on that petition that says we want a special session on this day to consider this legislation, given the fact that you have that they're in as the 23rd council and do that, which means that piece of legislation will have to go through the process now. Or they can enter it as emergency legislation. If they're able to get it in front of the 23rd council can determine whether or not it's an emergency legislation. It has to fill the requirement. So we could go through this whole process, get it in front of the 23rd. The 23rd can look at it and say it doesn't qualify for an emergency legislation. will not sit, or if it's determined that it does qualify, then the 23rd will consider, and it would either be passed or voted down. Voted down, and if it's passed, it's council's action. That legislation does not go across the street. Council's action. It says so-and-so is going across. That's within the authority of council. If you think back when Leonard Hasty went across and Milton Blue House went across, that was council's action. Didn't need to go across the street. And quite frankly, I don't think there was anybody there at that time. But there was a vacancy.
Well, but in this case, we don't know if President Shelley is going to step aside or request to continue. If he requests to continue, might that be another legislation that can be discussed to say that, well, let's leave him on?
Or do they just
go ahead and just say, okay, we are going to move, we're going to, just based on the scenario that you just outlined, they're going to come up with their own person, talking about the council, 23rd council, and they send somebody across, regardless if the president is there or not.
They can do any one of, they can do that or any other scenario, right?
Well, so we're not done.
No, we're not done.
So the other question that I had, which I think that is really tied into both the presidential and the Navajo Nation Council primary election. Now, what's your thoughts on what I'm going to bring up? And that is this whole dismissal and grievance letters and so forth that was eventually ending up in two challenges with OHA and also Navajo Nation Supreme Court. Those were both affected by the Navajo Nation Board of Election Supervisors and other Navajo Nation officers, which I already mentioned. Now, when the Navajo Nation presidential election had those cases with the team and then Russell Begay, it created an interesting scenario. Spinoff from that was the disqualification of the Navajo Nation Board of Election Supervisors. Now, two of the Board of Election Supervisors were candidates for the Navajo Nation Council. Because of their disqualification, it also disqualified them to continue running because I believe they were one of the top two finishers. And it permitted them from participating, and that whole two areas were placed on hold. In the meantime, we're going on with the president's office. What happened to those two elections? The question comes up amongst a lot of people is that if it affected the president's office to throw the election off this far, then why is the Navajo Nation Council moving forward with their election and with their new 23rd council when two areas they don't have? They only have, what, 22 council elected right now?
No, there's 24 now.
So did they finally have their election?
They had their election on the 30th of December, and right now they're just awaiting certification. After the election, there's 10 days for any sort of challenge to take place. So we're working on the days, on the 10 days. If there is no challenges, then at the end of the 10th day, they get certified.
So was Norman Begay and Tom White, did any of them become the Navajo Nation Council?
No, because remember, when the Chief Justice disqualified them, he also said they cannot run for any elected office, They put their hat in the ring to be considered by the people, be a delegate. By virtue of Supreme Court, they can run for public office.
And that's why the legislation was introduced to have them reinstated so that they qualify so those two can run in their chapters.
No. The legislation, the intent of the legislation was to nullify their their disqualification as election supervisors. There's nothing within the legislation that says it also nullifies them from being considered running for council delegate, because that has already been done. Could the two individuals challenge to say, I was a finisher, I was one of the top two finishers, and because of this, you've already had an election, possibly. But again, it's contingent on what the president does. And be mindful that you're still within the 10 days. Follow me?
Yep. So,
you're still within the 10 days, the president has a sign.
Yeah, so this passage or veto of this new election date legislation, it's going to ignite or actually put into motion several different scenarios for even the Tom White and also Norman Begay case, and as well as even, I wouldn't be too surprised with Russell Begay.
Well, I don't see how Russell would play a part into this.
Well, I'm talking about his position where he's been moved up, but then now that we're going back to the new, if he passes it, then obviously doesn't Russell Begay have a case also to go in there and say, hey, you know what? Everything was done upright. I've expended my time campaigning to go face Joe Shirley. This whole thing is messed up.
Yeah, anything's possible at this point. Anything's possible. Going back to Mr. White and Mr. Begay, they could say, I'm done anyway. Thank you for reinstating me as an election supervisor. As far as being a delegate, they can walk away from it and not make an issue of it. Or they could go the other way and challenge.
And if that's the case, if they challenge, doesn't that nullify and just say, hey, you know what, if the president has, let's say, suppose that the president had signed it, then couldn't they have a very good argument to say that if the president's doing a review because it was all messed up. Now, in our case, we're reinstated. We want to participate, and therefore, we want the Navajo Nation Council election to be redone.
Yeah, for them, they're the only affected ones, possibly. But in the meantime, what happens to the two individuals that have won those two seats at 7:01 on the 30th? Right? Are they going to let it go, or do you say do over? Every time
Yeah. Well, one last question. This is back to the presidential elections, and that is that, so what you're saying is that the qualification stays in place as far as the qualification as it is outlined with the now initiative of elections, which means that if everybody 17 is brought back and everybody, do they have to refile, or are they just going to go on what's already been filed? And if they refile, then that gives another 10 days of challenges, or is the 10 days going to be let go?
Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe they still have to go through. They still have to file, and in filing, they're committing themselves to saying, I qualify, and that's when the qualifications kick in. So, yes, 17 are there, but maybe one or more say, I'm done, or I don't qualify. The question that I would be asking is, why just the 17th? Maybe there are other individuals that would want to throw their hat into the arena, because you're going through the primary event, right? Could someone challenge that? You're possibly having a do-over.
Yeah, but it does say in the legislation, it says open to the 17th.
Yeah, but we've had challenges. There's nothing to say that someone can say, I'm qualified. I speak Navajo. I'm fluent. I got all these other qualifications, and I want to be considered.
Yeah, and the challenges, it goes through OHA, and based on what happened in the past, that took about 3 months. So whatever date that President Shelley signs it and passes it, then we're about 3 months out just on the grievances challenges. That's just if there's only one. But if there's three or four, then we're about 6 months, 9 months, or even a year out, just clearing up that whole every challenge.
Well, good thing about any future challenges, we do have experience.
But that experience, not, But that experience where it first ends up, which is the Office of Hearing and Appeals, so far as I understand it, is that there's no qualified hearing officer.
Well, that's an executive branch issue.
Yeah. Well, Agushila, I'm sure we'll have some more questions, and, you know, if there's anything that you'd like to share from the Navajo Nation Council, 22nd or 23rd?
Well, it's been the speaker pro tem for 10 months, going through my best days, and we've had our challenges, but every day that I've left at 5 o'clock in the morning and gotten back home at 10, 11 o'clock at night, I've enjoyed every minute of it, and it's going to be something I can tell my grandkids and friends of the 22nd Navajo Nation Council, through your experience and this is all history you can tell.
Yeah.
So we'll remember it. We'll go down in history one way or another. But at the same time, Navajo people are a very enduring nation. We'll get through it one way or another.
Yeah. Okay, there you have it. Thank you very much, Pro Tem Speaker Lorenzo Bates, for sharing some very insightful and very interesting, and at least given us the kind of the barometer. We don't know which way the it's going to swing, but at least he gave us an area where we can think about. And I suppose that the constituency or the Navajo people out there, they can call their council delegate or their new elected council delegate, whichever way, wherever they can influence how this is going to move forward. And there's still a bit of a little bit of time, but next week is going to be the 13th. So, yeah. Hagushina, thank you very much. Aloha.
Good night.
Good night. That was the Navajo Nation Pro Tem Speaker, Lorenzo Bates. I appreciate his time and for his willingness to share with us his thoughts and ideas.
Politics on the Navajo Nation, the official Navajo Talk Radio, hosted by Cal Nelson.